us pray. Father God, may your words live in our lives as we follow you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please have a seat. A few quotes on giving and generosity. First by Maya Angelou, the African-American writer. I have found that among its other benefits, giving liberates the soul of the giver. Anne Frank. No one has ever become poor from giving. Ben Carson, who I had to look up, is a US Secretary for Housing. Happiness doesn't result from what we get, but what we give. Winston Churchill, we make a living by what we get, we make a life by what we give. And Pablo Picasso, of all people, the meaning of life is to find your gifts. The purpose of life is to give them away. So yes, it's that sermon where the vicar comes to talk about money and everyone switches off. But don't worry, you are the chosen few. I am recording this so others can get hold of it as well. And just this week, actually, I don't know if you ever listened on Radio 4 to The Moral Maze. It was about morality and money. And there were some very eloquent words spoken. So well worth looking at it. I must admit, I have an odd relationship with money myself. I'm entirely dependent on your and others' generosity for my income. My salary comes from you, indirectly, but pretty directly at the same time. During the course of our lives, there was a point where we had no regular income for 10 years as a couple. We were reliant on friends and churches to support us when we were at Bible college and when we were doing mission work overseas. And lots of surprising things happened in that time. The only new car I've ever had was in Zimbabwe. It was a white Toyota, never let us down. In my life, because we sold the house we had after 2 years and moved abroad, we were gifted half a flat, which is just amazing. And now, as you well know, I live in a £1 million house. So strange things happen. But I'm on a lifetime of generosity. I'm learning, I guess, as we all are. And this is such an immense subject, we will return to it. So rest assured, the issue of giving and finances, both in SILSO and across the benefice, is something that we need to come back to. So this is a kind of like a starter for 10 today. But the first thing I want to say is thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for what you give. You give as a benefice £58,000 next year that basically gives you a vicar and the £1 million house and other bits and pieces. And I suppose indirectly it funds my other job working half-time for the diocese, looking at growing vocations and in lay ministry. But thank you, because I don't think you're thanked enough, because many people give very, very sacrificially. This church itself costs nearly £50,000 a year to run. So, you know, we're looking at £900 to £1,000 a week to run it. And when you combine the other churches, we're looking at just under £100,000 that we need to run the benefice and the three churches that we have. It's a significant investment. But I'm not talking about finances because I've had pressure from Gillian or any other PCC finance secretaries, or from the PCC or the wardens themselves. I'm speaking about finance because it is a measurable way of seeing how generous we are in our Christian lives. And we need to come back to it. Martin Luther himself was the one who said the last thing to be converted in a person's life is their wallet. Interesting. Because when it comes to money, it's measurable. There's a figure. And the minute there's a number, we begin to think, is that too much? Is that too little? Is it just right? So as I follow Jesus and as I read the scriptures, I'm asking myself constantly, what do I need to do with the resources that I've been loaned by God, and how should I use them well? So for the pilgrims amongst us, and that's all of us, let's head back to Jerusalem, because our gospel reading was on the Temple Mount. There was a collection going on, and we can see this scene being played out before our very eyes. But just before this passage in Mark, Jesus is berating the teachers of the law. And he even says in verse 40, they devour widows' houses. They devour, eat them up, take them away. So he is criticizing something of the wealth of the clergy at the time and how money is being used. But it is particularly poignant in a week where nearly 30,000 people have tragically lost their lives and 10,000 buildings have been destroyed, that we hear that verse. Different, but it reminds us and echoes what we need to do. Now, widows, as you know, weren't paid an income. There was no social security in first century Palestine in that sense. They depended on the generosity of their families, and if their family was not supporting them, they would be begging. And of course, this system was open to abuse. Widows were vulnerable. And it seems that Jesus is very aware that those who should be supported by society are actually being manipulated by it, and even worse, by the religious authorities of the time. And let's be really honest, that if vicars or Christian leaders talk about money and resources in a manipulative way, then write to your bishop. Well, actually talk to them first. I think we've got to recognise that all of us need to be obedient to what God is calling us to. We are in this together, not apart. So this woman probably begged her 2 copper coins. And Jesus compares and contrasts generosity as he sees it being played out on this scene on the temple. It seems that probably historically collections were in 13 trumpet-shaped boxes and money would be put in them. Now you can imagine it makes quite a lot of noise. There's a song and dance about giving, isn't there, in this, that is rather dangerous. It's fairly clear that the rich people were saying, look at me, hear what I give, and yes, I'm there quite a long time piling it into this box, so you know that I'm really, really wealthy. But it's not what they give, it's what is left behind. I did a little bit of research yesterday, and it seems fairly clear that the amount that this widow gave was probably less than £2 in current money. It was a tiny amount, but it was all she had. It's fairly likely that she had begged that, and then she gave it away. Because giving is an expression of our worship. It's quite clear. It's an indication of our commitment to God. I think what's also fairly clear here is, for the most part, it should be secret. It shouldn't be a performance. It's not a competition. But what is very straightforward is not the amount, it's the proportion. Jesus is saying that effectively these rich people gave a huge amount, but really, to them, it did not cost them very much at all. For people who have less than £10,000 a year in the UK, so I guess that's people who are on pensions, state pensions, and have very few reserves, on average, they give 4.5% of their income to charities. For people who earn over 70,000 a year, they give 2%. The poor proportionally give more across the world than the rich. But we get very fixated on how much they've given and not how much they've kept for themselves. So what people keep is a measure of their generosity or lack of it. And the key here is that giving isn't God's way of raising money. I'm not here to rally and talk about money, to raise money, nice though that would be. Giving is God's way of raising us as people. Because it can be quite costly, it can be quite painful. And we begin to trust God more because we have less. That's the difficulty. And I'm not advocating, in case you're wondering, to give everything away. Although God has asked people to do that from time to time. And Christian history is littered with the generosity of very many people. Google the life of George Muller as an example. And it is no doubt that the church needs Christian philanthropists and business women and men who give generously and produce generously. This widow had no idea where her next meal was coming from. That wasn't what was on her thinking, her agenda at the time. She gives as an act of worship, but she does not accumulate. In that Corinthians passage, we were told to give joyfully. And obviously, if you feel that your arm's being twisted, well, something's wrong in this sermon. And something's wrong in how we are responding to an invitation on generosity. The context of that passage in Corinthians is that Paul was encouraging the church at Corinth to give generously to the Christians in Jerusalem who were being persecuted and were struggling from a famine. So nothing's new. You know, when the world is at dis-ease, we are called to care for it. And there are numerous ways that I'm sure you have already supported the earthquake in Syria and Turkey this last week. But what about you and me? That's kind of where it hits home, isn't it? Well, I suppose the first thing is, do you know how much you give? Not just an amount, but a proportion of your income. Because that's an important thing, I think, God's asking us to consistently review. And I'm not going to lay down and be prescriptive on this, because for each of us it will be different, and quite rightly too, because our circumstances are different. But yeah, there is that question, how much? How much relative to what we spend on leisure, holidays, luxuries, etc.? Well, let me quote C.S. Lewis, because he knows a lot more than I do. And C.S. Lewis was asked about giving, and he said the following: I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid that the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. In other words, if our expenditure on comforts, luxuries, amusements, etc., is up to the standard common among those with the same income as our own, we're probably giving away too little. And if our charities do not pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. There ought to be things we should like to do and we cannot do because our charitable expenditure excludes them. So there's an invitation. And if you want to know in detail how we do our giving as a couple, I'm very open to talk to you about that. I've got nothing to hide. I am on a journey as well. One of the things we do have is a giving account. So every month, at the end of the month, I know what we've already given. I know what my income is. I do a proportional giving. And then I either take out or put into the giving account the balance. And I can use that to respond to things. And it's something we've had our whole Christian lives. And it's really helped us. Generosity. And obviously there are pressures on what we give to. Obviously, the church, we'd love to support the church. But the church itself is a charity. But as we've seen, as it received, like the widow gave. And that's something that we need to consider, not only as this church, but as the benefice. Our charitable and missional giving beyond ourselves into the big world. We regularly give to somebody in Zimbabwe, and we're putting them through school. We support some mission partners in Uganda and in Mongolia. And there are other things that we support. And I've got to be honest, because I know my income's rising this month. Suddenly I've got another half salary. So I need to make sure that I'm proportionally giving from that increase in salary. And that's something we've done for the last 30-odd years. If people are in debt, those need to be cleared first. If people are on benefits, then how much they can give is very, very different. But some of us are always able to respond. And Paul summarizes the heart of generosity. I don't know if you picked it up just at the end of that Bible reading. It's in verse 15. Beautiful, beautiful line. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And the indescribable gift is Jesus. We've been blessed with God. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life, the greatest gift in eternity. And it's from that we recognize that God was the first giver. God was sacrificial. And all that I do and all that we are invited to do is respond to his generosity. Because giving is our grateful response. Now I'm going to give you a gift. It didn't cost very much, but it's significant. I hope you can see that I have a little piece of paper with a pound sign on, a question mark, and the cross. Now you can put that in your wallet or your purse or in your mobile phone. And all it is a reminder as you go through your week, whether you're in a shop or whether you're at your computer and you're buying something, what are you using God's money for? And what could you use God's money for? And I will have this in my phone as well to remind me and to think, what might I need to change? But we've got a long way to go on this. It's exciting, it's daunting, but it is godly to be generous and to follow and trust Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, this is an immense subject, and it pinches, it challenges, it makes us feel uneasy. Help us to trust you. Help us to listen to what you have for us. And may we recognize the beauty and the wonder of your generosity to us. And may we respond. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.